Welcome to Clarity in Real Time, where we explore how to access, sustain, and leverage inner clarity to build and scale businesses truly aligned with our values and goals. I'm your host, Dane Ellen Archer. Hello, everyone. Today, I want to welcome Sherry Covey. She is the founder and director of the Rocky Mountain Orthobiotomy Center, which is a unique educational opportunity offering the only complete and comprehensive orthobiotomy training program in the U.S. I'm thrilled today to have her here with us. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
Oh, of course. I have a little reveal. Sherry was my advisor back in the day, and when I was a serious hot mess, she would stay with me even when I was having reactions and lots of moments in hindsight I guess I'm not proud of, and I'm grateful for their learning experience. So thank you, Sherry, for sticking with me as I became an orthobiotomy practitioner all those years ago.
I am very grateful that you came through our program, number one, and number two is that we had a chance to get to know each other on such a deep level, because those hot messes actually reveal who we really are and what we've been through.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And orthobiotomy, and we're going to touch on what that is, I would credit in my world to getting me to where I am now. It is what gave me the foundational understanding of this human suit I'm walking around in, and why some days it would be so reactive, and why I would see only the negative instead of the days where I now in this higher frequency see the opportunity, especially in business. Like how to handle the stress of scaling and growing and expanding. Orthobiotomy is what gave me the tools to operate this human suit and build a manual. Will you share what orthobiotomy is, this awkward word?
This beautiful awkward word is actually a bodywork that's neurologically based. And it comes through the door of anything that you are struggling with in your life, whether it's like over-responsiveness to something or a dullness even in your system. We can work with all of that. So if you come in, get a session, we have the ability to just help turn that boat in a little bit of a different direction and create change inside your own system, which helps you navigate your world easier.
I originally just thought of it as like pain relief, right? It was, I hurt. You know, that was back in the days when I was working as a construction worker. Guys, I was actually a licensed electrician in a prior career. Loved that work. And it really, my body broke down in it, and ortho was what kept me going in those last years. And then I decided to learn how to do it for myself, and that was my first steps into the journey of operating this suit and knowing how to get clarity on demand whenever I want it. And it's not just about pain relief.
It's about self-recognition, self-regulatory options. We don't often know what the language is that our body talks to us in. We are often confused by it. Pain can be very confusing. But actually, inside of us, there's an intelligence and many different types of nervous systems. And that intelligence is what really allows us to recognize ourselves, to just start to self-correct and move through the world in a different way.
This to me feels like a version of learning to like read your intuition.
Exactly. It's instinctive in all of us. It's natural in all of us. It's almost like an organic system within us. I was looking at a tree the other day, this kind of off, but I noticed that a branch had broken off early in this tree's survival. And instead of growing out the broken branch, it actually grew a new, whole new trunk and created a whole new place for itself in the world. And I was like, that's orthobiotomy. Where a part of us is broken and has shed off, we will still continue to grow and become the next part of our space or our life. And orthobiotomy has that ability to help kind of organize and guide away from brokenness into regrowth, rebirth, re-understanding.
So it seems like to me it's broader than just, you know, like a little white pill for mm-hmm. pain relief. It seems like it's almost like a philosophy for moving through the world. And I imagine in business, is this the sort of philosophy that helps start your school? Like, you started an entire school, Sherry, and an entirely different way of teaching this work. We're going there. You're going to talk about this because it to me is so juicy.
Right. And it is a philosophy. It's actually a philosophy you can live your life by. And then as you get into that gift of the philosophy, which when you have a principle-based work, it's just a different kind of body work right there. You're not an agenda or like it has to be a certain way type of body work. And that as a practitioner and as a person who started a school. That becomes like the core of how I had to move into this whole thing of creating a center. And I didn't even want to call it a school. I wanted to call it a center because I had a feeling that it would be a community-based educational experience. And in that educational experience, there'd be a chance to not only heal your own body, recognize your nervous systems and their response to the world, which is super useful just in and of itself, but also create your authentic place in the world where you're not doing what everybody else has prescribed for you or waiting for permission slips to be the good girl or whatever. It becomes literally about creating an authentic voice within you that starts maybe small and maybe even confused, but becomes more powerful with every class you take, with every hands-on experience you have, every time we bring information in that allows a student to reflect and recognize their own brilliance. That's what the center is about ultimately, and that becomes empowerment for women.
I'm really hearing your passion for this come through, and I know it's been 25 years in the making, and maybe you would even argue, you know, 25 before that, like, and there's a piece in there that I want to have you expand on a little bit just for listeners, which is, it keeps saying nervous system and like awareness of it and how that can affect your life and your being. Can you say more about that?
Most of my life, I believe that I had a central nervous system. Like I could pick up a cup of coffee if I wanted, you know, I could blink if I wanted to, or I would blink innately. So that was as far as I got in nervous system understanding. But what's happened in science is actually caught up with orthobiomy on this level. There's many different nervous systems, and recognition of which nervous system is running the show at which time is one of the most important aspects you can get for self-recognition. To put it simply, you can just figure out if you're in a sympathetic nervous system overload, which is our fight or flight. Or maybe you'll notice that, oh, I'm calm right now. I want to take a nap. I just would like to kick back. So then you're in your parasympathetic nervous system. And then there, of course, there's a million things in between. But those, just recognizing which system you're in and how it's affecting your behavior. And a lot of times what we think is a personality disorder or problem or flaw is often just a nervous system response rising up for good reason in our body.
I imagine, like in my language, it would be, I get a piece of information, somebody shares something with me, and I feel an overwhelm of emotion come up, which doesn't quite match what they're sharing with me. Like it seems like it's a large amount of emotion for what is actually present.
Non-proportional.
Non-proportional. Right. I love that phrase. Thank you. And that would be a sign that maybe I'd be in my sympathetic nervous system. So I'd be having a fight or flight response.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when we get there, we put our dukes up on the world or we run, right? And the parasympathetic is more where we can calm down, where we can listen, which is half the process of orthobiomy is learning how to listen to somebody else's body. And in doing that, we have to listen to ourselves.
I know how this has worked for me in my business, and I'm curious what this has worked like for you as you co-created an entire school. And I happen to know you changed quite a bit about how this is taught as well. So you were in a culture where there was a different paradigm. So what was that like for you?
I have to actually say I'm really grateful that you're bringing this up because it was more instinctive than conscious at first when we started to make the changes. In the same way that they say that a parent will parent a child the way that's very similar to the way they were parented, unless they consciously make a change, right? But we have tendencies and habits. And so I came up with in a more rigid system. And there was definitely a top-down type of educational system where the instructor held all the power, knowledge, and glory in a way. And of course, that's obviously attractive if you're the teacher, right? But as a student, I had some struggles with it. And then as a trainee to become an instructor, I found it very challenging. And I didn't feel even recognized. And then I started a school from that place, which is kind of ridiculous, right? But I did, because that's all I knew. So I knew I wanted to teach, and I was starting to realize in the classroom, live with people and their lives and their nervous systems and their grief and their joy, that I couldn't teach that way. It just didn't resonate with my authentic voice. And so I started, which now I think the world is doing. I just really just climbed on the same ship with thousands of other people. I decided to teach across versus down. And I consciously wanted to even train my other instructor who was coming through the center with me. I wanted to train her with a sense of recognition and gratefulness that she was in the process with me and willing to just grit it out as we had these birthing issues. And basically that's when we changed. I realized I don't want to train her the way I was trained, nor do I want to train any student the way I was trained. Even though I was deeply appreciative of that training and it changed my life, I thought just maybe if we treated people as equals and could really recognize their individualness, that we would be able to have a bigger impact than just teaching them where to put their hands to release a knee or a back pain. We could actually get in under their skin and help them see their own brilliance. And that became the motivating factor.
So there was like a bigger why that actually emerged as you started to build this and grow this, which was empowering others to build lives they love.
That became, exactly. That became the highest priority in my life, and the drive and the motivation and the determination that no matter what, that's what I wanted to see. And it's very rewarding to watch someone rise up and take a very strong hold of their own life. You know, they don't let go of everything all at once, but over time they start to drive their own bus, right? And they start to open the door when they want people in, and they start to close it when they don't want certain things to happen. And they take complete control. And I don't mean control like rigid, but like just the inner understanding of what's right for them and what possibly isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And we grow so much in the process. I mean, the 10-week program we have, it's spread over 2 years. And in that 2 years, it's amazing to watch a woman come in and with one idea, one understanding of herself. And 18 months later, there's this other woman kind of coming out of her skin and standing there more empowered, almost like aglow with self-empowerment. Mm. And that just, it rocks your world. So it's wonderful.
And I imagine that you weren't maybe in touch with this as clearly before running the school. So was there some sort of crucible that you went through that like produced this clarity? Because it seems like, and I felt it in your classes and I felt it in your community over the four years I've known you and been in your community now, I have felt that clarity come through stronger and stronger. So can you talk a little bit about the journey? Because I sometimes feel like we only get to see like the shiny bits.
Right. It's so true. I think at the end of any journey, and I'm not at the end yet. In fact, I don't see the end of this internal journey for a long time, hopefully within the center, but also within my own life. I think the biggest thing is when you run into resistance from people who have been in front of you, and they are really unnerved by what you're doing, what you're developing, what's evolving. And originally, Ortho has, and at its base of its philosophy, is that it will evolve. And to actually be able to step in and feel it almost innately start to evolve itself. And like literally we had to kind of paddle the canoe once we put it in the river. And then we just had to keep up with the evolvement that was happening. And it challenged me on every level. It challenged me to look at my marriage differently. It challenged me to look at how I treated people. It challenged me to learn how to really listen.
The starting of the school.
Yeah, all of that all came up because I had a 5-year-old. I'm a very late bloomer in life, which I love that I can say that because a lot of women are late bloomers. So it comforts me to be able to say, listen, I didn't even have a baby till I was 46. I didn't learn to navigate marriage even remotely well until I was at least 44. So there you go, right? So when I started the school, I was in my 50s. And then I started this life. It wasn't like I just did this at 36 years old. And so I had a lot of life experience, but I also had life experience that was based on everything that wasn't authentic to me. So when I started to run into what felt right for the center, that community, those women, I had to look at myself pretty hard, but I also found that I could do it. Like all I had to do was just say, okay, what's the right decision to stay inside these principles of orthobiotomy? Like, how do I not judge people? How do I start to create what we call right relationship? How do I start to listen on a deeper level? And every time I stumbled, ran into myself, my old habits, my old patterns, I could pick myself back up and say, we're gonna change the philosophy one more time. We're gonna go in deeper to this understanding. And so we were able to do a lot of development inside the work, but we were also, more importantly, able to open ourselves up to learning cooperatively. And when we started to learn from the students more than we were teaching them on some days, that's when it got good. That's mm-hmm. when it got, it really, the center started to run itself in a way. And that was part of all this life lessons. Right. Everything that we are comes from all that we are. Every step that we take forward comes from our past. It comes from our hope for the future. And then we slowly unwind this ball of yarn that we are, and we undo the knots, and we start to look at the colors within that framework. And life becomes very easy, but it also, you can recognize your mistakes easier. You can forgive yourself way easier. And more importantly, you can work with people and recognize that you can actually come into relationship, whether it's been a painful relationship or one that's been quite joyful. You can just keep the conversation moving. And in movement is when we have change.
So it seems like, just to kind of like rewind the landscape here a little bit, there was a lot in that chunk for me, at least, and I liked it. To me, there's a lot to chew on in there. What I'm getting most strongly out of that is that you have a core set of philosophies that have come from embodying this work that you do. Mm-hmm. And it's also now the core driving philosophies that you bring forth in building this giant project of realizing the school. And the more you tap into those, when you lose clarity, either in your leadership with others or external pressures from built culture that's already around you, that's mm-hmm. there first, right? And also in yourself. You talk about how, you know, you weren't born perfect. And so overcoming your own stuff is, you have this core set of philosophies that you check against. And really, the more you live in those is when the momentum began in your school and in right. your business, where it's starting to actually, or I guess at this point, no longer starting, it is. It is a community that is self-fulfilling.
Right.
It is actually its own being in the world, supported by the philosophies as well that you started under. Does that all fit?
That's a great summary. Thank you for that. Yeah, and the one thing I want to add on, though, is it is so collaborative at this level. I might look like I'm at the head of it, but it's really not that way. It seems like we're all kind of sitting in this circle. And that means anyone who's come into the school, as you did really, really early in the school's inception, or people who are still coming in 3 weeks to start a program. All of these people, we end up in the kind of the same plateau together. And we grow in our own directions off of there, but it's all interrelated. It's all interconnected. And Sarah, who runs our office, she carries this big load. Melinda, who teaches with me, she carries a big load and is always, you know, working diligently to improve. But then every single student impacts how we look, feel, and hold the center. And I like that. I like the collectedness, the co-creation that happens every time we walk in a classroom.
It reminds me of so many years ago, I heard you say, more is more.
Right.
And I started to experience for the first time abundant mindset and understand what scarcity was and how that affected me when I was in scarcity, and trying on more and more of that. More is more. What does that look like? What does that feel like? And recognizing that actually that co-creation, I love that collective co-creation phrase, how we all bring each other up.
We do.
And more is brought in. We start attracting in what we need, right? That classic law of attraction. I just love that. And I love seeing what it's built. And truly, folks, she's got momentum. She nailed this one. She nailed it.
It's a deep joy, though, to be a part of it, and humbling mm-hmm. and inspiring. Mm-hmm. And every time I think, oh, it can't get any better, mm-hmm. it gets better. Mm. But I do think it's because there is that collective energy of empowerment that's coming through every breath of the center.
So, like, going with that, to a listener who is out there creating a community mm-hmm. in line with their passion, right, what they want to bring forth in the world, what might be something that you would want to share with them?
I think that if you go back to the principles of this work.
So could you list those for us?
Yes, I was just happy to. And hopefully I can do it, right? You can test my skills now. I think there's some principles. The basic principles are like, don't judge others. Just be open to who is interested in being in your community. Meet them where they're at, honor what arises. Those two are huge, because they actually, you can meet anyone then on the same, kind of the same base, like I was saying, the same plateau, the same place. The non-judgment, honor what arises. And then we have this really beautiful, deep listening aspect, which is right relationship, which actually, the more I study it, the more I'm trying to evolve it and live it in my life, the harder that becomes in a way, because you start to realize, like, where I'm not listening is often where I fall out of relationship with someone. When I can't have a non-judgment attitude in relationship to them, I can't really meet them. So because I have my own philosophy, my own thing, my own agenda. And we're non-agenda work, non-force work. We really don't want to tell the body what to do. We want to listen to the body as it tells us what it wants to do. So it's an upside down paradigm. And the same thing happens within those principles. When you fall out of one, even for a split second, like you were saying, I'm just going to go to listening. When you just don't listen to someone, you really don't take that time to pause and hear their truth or their perception of truth. And you just want them to push them in a direction, we're out of right relationship. And the body's the same way. So it really parallels these. But if I listen and I notice and I ask, would this work? What do you think of this? The blossom that comes open is just really huge. It's really powerful. And all of that one-on-one is how you create a community. And then honoring the gift of everyone who walks in the door, because there's no one on this planet who doesn't have gifts, who doesn't have something to offer and a purpose to this planet. And where we land in that doesn't matter to me, as long as they start to see it for themselves.
To me, I can really feel how collaboration, it seems like collaboration with self, so staying in relationship with self, whatever that looks like, and staying in relationship with other is really this foundational piece that has allowed your community to quite honestly start building itself.
Correct. And I do think it's, as women, I'm just going to talk as women. Women, I think innately, no matter what the culture says about jealousy and competitiveness, women innately at some point know how to support each other. It's part of that survival that we've had to do in this culture, world culture even. And I think by becoming tuned into that collaborative nature, tuning into how you can find someone very deep to lean into with like the sameness, but yet the differences, all of that creates an empowerment. And what we're trying to hold at the center is that you can make your choices about your own divine purpose, your own gifts. You can make your choices on how you want to move through the world and what it feels like inside of you. And that creates a hub of, like I said before, just empowerment, but it also creates a hub of inner relation, inner recognition. I mean, it's a phenomenal when I hear a woman say, oh my gosh, she worked on me. It was so phenomenal. She has this gift, like an undercurrent in her work that is so uniquely her that you can identify it by touch. You can immediately feel like, oh, I know who's working on me.
I feel like we dive like down to like your roots, which are one-on-one sessions from back in the day and still currently. And then you've pulled all of that up and expanded. And I imagine there's others listening that have some sort of core thing that they touch on, that they're good, a skill that they've built, that they're expanding up and into a larger, they're scaling, right? They're scaling into taking their passion at a larger level. If you were talking to one of them and they were having a rough day, what would be something that you would say to them?
If you compare it to climbing a ladder, which is not like the corporate ladder, but just climbing a ladder towards your own vision, you sometimes have days that you just hang on for dear life. You stand on the stair, you wrap your arms around tight around the ladder, and you just wait until the wind stops. And then you take your next step. There's other days that you can climb three or four rungs and like you'll be like, this is so easy, what happened? So you have to stay on the ladder. Just don't climb off the ladder. Don't talk yourself into a belief system that's not authentic for you. Don't count failure as not important. Each step on that ladder has failure wrapped into it. And each step on the ladder has success. So you have to start to tie into success. Like, okay, that wasn't the most perfect moment of my life. I remember telling Melinda once, one of the other instructors, I told her once, she said, that really wasn't our best class we ever taught. And I remember thinking, yep, but I can analyze it and keep going. So inside my failure, I also grew my own success and holding on to the ladder. It wasn't the end of the world. I didn't teach my A game class, but the point is I got up and taught the class and I didn't quit and I didn't consider everybody else's who maybe didn't get what they needed out of the class. It wasn't their failure. And on the other hand, I didn't drown in my own failure. And I think that's the most important thing is you learn to kind of like hold steady and keep going. And it may seem like you're playing hopscotch with yourself and the rock just lands on the same spot over and over again, but hop over it for once, keep going. And then you'll find where you land, it's a really unique place inside of yourself. And it's built, like you're saying, it's built on a slow moving self-confidence that comes from inside of yourself that is really positive. And don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Believe what feels right in your system and keep going.
Oh, and I just love that so much. Believe what feels right in your system and just keep going. Keep climbing that ladder. And I feel like I want to end on that mic drop, because that feels so important to me, that A, the ladder has failure and it has success, and hang on, keep going, and just try.
Yeah.
And don't be stopped by the thoughts. Exactly. Stay true to what feels right.
Exactly. And you never know what door will open. You never know. It does. That's almost the beauty of it, is if you just stay on course to what your vision is, even if your vision shifts halfway through, you're still on course. You know, to sail, really, to tack and sail, you have to go almost against the direction you want to go to sometimes get where you're really going. And that happens with any of our dreams and any of our visions and our desire to create something new, fresh, and authentic in our life.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sherry, for sharing all of that with us and being here and sharing your time and sharing your spirit and your passion with the world. I see the impact that you've been making, and I am so excited for our world that it has Sherry Covey in it. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited for your journey as well.
Thank you for being with us today. I'm Daniela Narker, and it is my belief that people leading lives and businesses clearly aligned with their values and goals is a level up for all of us. Learn more about how to apply clarity practices in your life at daniela.com. This has been Clarity in Real Time. See you next episode.